I want to make sure, in case anybody here doesn't know.
Okay.
Just yep. So we catch it.
Okay. Yep.
And this is out of place. So this is really supposed to be this prayer of dedication. I just separated somehow.
Okay.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship today on a muggy day, but it's so good to be together in the house of the Lord. And I would like you to join me in the call to worship. It's a call and response that is used in a lot of churches. And so I invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll worship the Lord together. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Let's express that as we worship today.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 225. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Christ our King.
Lord, we welcome you into this place. We sing hallelujah to you, our Lord and Savior, and we welcome you, trusting that by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, we might enter into God's presence today and offer the worship of God's children who have been taught to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Several announcements, and wanted to begin by letting you know that Rob Manna is now recording the services, and they can be heard on the website. So if you want to hear again something you've heard here, or you know someone who couldn't make it to worship, a friend of yours or family member, be sure to let them know that they can hear our worship service on our website. Happy to report to you that after a vote of 118-9 yesterday, Tabcom Churches voted to accept Reverend Mary Day Miller as our new executive minister, replacing Tony Pappas, who retires later this summer. Her first Sunday will be August 24th, and we look forward to her ministry here. She spoke in her message yesterday about storing up treasures in heaven and how we need to let go of the earthly treasures that we can't take with us, but we can store things up in heaven through our praise and our good deeds and our worship of God. So we look forward to her ministry with us. In the bulletin are a number of announcements for Vacation Bible School, volunteers needed for junior church and nursery, the Ladies' Day program that kicks off this Friday at 7, also Choir for a Day. You all sounded good on that opening hymn. Choir for a Day, next Sunday, come at 9:30. Doesn't matter what part you sing or wherever you sing. Solo, you can't hear it, or whatever. 10 or 12 rows back. Just come at 9:30. We'll sing a practice a familiar hymn from the hymnal, and then we'll sing it as the offertory for the worship that day. It's an enjoyable time and an opportunity for you who can't commit to a year of choir rehearsals and performance to come and just share for one day. So we look forward to that. Bob, would you want to announce about the prayer time that you had, how that went?
We this past week we met together on Tuesday night, but we're going to be starting to meet on Thursday nights. But we had a prayer time this past week, and it was a wonderful time. We had a bunch of folks come out. And we all prayed at the front of the sanctuary here. We put things on the board to pray over. We are going to be meeting June 25th. If you have any prayer requests, things that you'd like us to pray over, there's a blue marker in the very back of the church if you want us to remember those things in prayer. It's on that whiteboard to my right and to your left as you turn around. The blue marker's there. If you have anything you'd like us to pray over, we'll take those to the Lord in prayer on Thursday night at 7:30. And we would love to have you join us to pray. Some people are a little bit intimidated by praying out loud. You don't have to come and pray out loud with us. You can just say amen when it comes to your turn, and people will know enough to take it along and continue. But we'd love to have you come out. We spend a little bit of time in the Word, and we pray together. And we've got a bunch of things with our youth group that are in the bulletin. You can take a look at those. There's no youth meeting today. It's Father's Day. We're encouraging kids to treat their dads today. And if you're a dad, happy Father's Day. We hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend. And it's a nice day to be together. But take a look at these things. One thing that we are doing differently, we have basketball this week. We've had a crowd all school year, really. It hasn't dissipated at all. We've had tons of kids coming out. And we're going to continue on with that, the momentum of that. We're going to start playing Ultimate Frisbee at 7:30 on Tuesday evenings. It's going to be at the field directly across the street from my house. And we're looking forward to a great time with the kids doing that. We've got a bunch of other things in the bulletin, like I said. Please see me later if you have any questions. Thank you.
Many of you probably noticed when you came in the timeline that is on the back tables. That was done at the potluck last week. If you weren't here, a chance for you to fill out little post-it notes that have memories of good things that have happened to you in this church, things you remember from the past, and things that you would like to see happen in the future. That'll be up there for a couple Sundays, so please take the chance to read those notes of what others have said and add your own as you think of things that have had meaning to you in the past here and also things that you'd like to have happen in the future. Are there any other announcements from anyone today?
Please rise if you are able and turn in your hymnals to number 9, Glorify Thy Name.
Please be seated. If you have joys or concerns that you'd like to send forward on the green slips that are in the pew, please do that. Well, I remember, especially today in our prayers, the families of our brothers and sisters in Charleston, South Carolina, it's hard to describe what happens when someone in your own church comes to a Bible study and then kills 9 of your members. I was struck by the fact that happened on Wednesday when a young white man went into a black church and sat in the Bible study and then shot people. On Tuesday, we had a black man come into this church, this white church, and sit in a Bible study and leave in peace because of the bonds of Christ. Man who had been here in Sunday the week before, as a matter of fact, Jimmy from Nigeria. It struck me that the bonds of Christ are so much stronger than the divisions of race and culture when we allow Christ in our heart. And so you have probably seen and read the forgiveness that has come out of that church and those family members has been a true testimony to the power of Christ's love being stronger than hate and stronger than death. So we want to keep them in our prayers. Bob, there's one behind you too. Bob, there's one behind you. Thank you. Thank you for prayers for Wilbur, who's doing well. Be heading for Maine this week. maybe Evelyn, who is on the prayer list in the bulletin, is scheduled for a July 2nd MRI. Pray that the blood clot has dissolved. And that's from Cindy, and she asked prayers that her sister Martha ran her first half triathlon yesterday, 6 hours, 37 minutes, 40 seconds. You must have been there. That's great. Well, congratulations to Martha. That's an achievement. Also, a request for prayers for Chris Collins. And, of course, there's an update on him in the bulletin. Stu Lyons is still here, but he's not home now. He's back to work, and so we're glad for that. But let's turn to God together in prayer. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we praise you today for the victory you have won over sin and death through your Son, Jesus Christ. The victory you have won over human hate and division through the reconciling power of Christ. We praise you for the oneness of the body of Christ on earth, oneness that is expressed even here at First Baptist Church of Abington when a man from Nigeria can be in a Bible study with us. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church, seated in glory with all authority in heaven and earth, ruling over all things for the church, which is your body. And you indwell us through your Spirit given in our baptism. And we praise you today. We don't come to worship an unknown God, but a God who is revealed to us in the person of Christ. For you said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That you and the Father are one. And so we praise you today, Lord Jesus, for revealing Father to us, for letting us see the unseen God in you, in your love and compassion, in the mercy that you showed, in the power that you displayed, in the miracles you performed. We thank you for letting us become the children of God through our faith in you. And we pray as God's children on behalf of others in our family. Those in Charleston, South Carolina, who have suffered such loss, such tragic, hateful loss, will find peace and comfort and strength to carry on. That their witness of forgiveness would be clear and compelling in that community. And that even the perpetrator of this crime would be touched and changed. And we pray, O Christ, for the needs of people that we know and love. For Chris, for Kay Williams, for Marion, for Chris Schultz, Dave, Stu, and this baby Evelyn that you know, even though we don't. We pray that in these and in all others on our prayer list and in our hearts, wherever there is a need for healing, that you would be gracious and provide it. Wherever there is a need for guidance because of confusion and uncertainty, you would provide it. Wherever there is grief because of death, you would provide comfort and relief. We give you thanks for answering prayers for Wilbur, for Stu's recovery, for others who have been touched and blessed by you in answer to prayer. We thank you for a prayer meeting here that recognizes not just the need we have to pray, but that we have a God who hears and answers prayer. And when two or three are gathered to lift up and agree in prayer, the promise of your blessing is there. Lord, we pray for our church. As we look back on our past and anticipate our future, we would remember those things that have been good and positive, that have been places where your presence was evident and your blessing was obvious. And that we might be bold to look at the future, not with fear or uncertainty, but with confidence and hope that you are present and will guide and bless us. So that whether we put down past memories or future dreams, we know that you have made them all possible. Lord, in our own hearts, we pray that you would continue to do that work that conforms us to the image of Christ. That those who see us would know that Christ dwells in us, that we belong to Him, that His image is being formed in us, and our lives are reflecting His love and peace and joy and all the blessings and characteristics of our Lord. So may others be won to faith in Christ, that our witness would bear fruit in this community and in our home communities until the day when Christ returns in glory and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For these things we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer of dedication that you see now is really out of place. It was supposed to be printed after the doxology, so that's not a part of worship now. Now is the time to worship through the giving of your tithes and offerings, and afterwards we'll do this prayer of dedication. But it is a unison prayer of dedication. We'll do that together following the doxology. Take the bulletin and join me in the prayer of dedication together. Let's pray. Lord God, May both our giving and our living reflect how much we love and trust you, so that we may be faithful stewards of everything your love has entrusted to us. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And during the last verse, if the children from 4 years old through third graders would come forward for junior church.
You a question, but I think I'll do that later. I'll just let you go. God, we pray that junior church would be enjoyable for Isabella and that she would learn more about your love for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes. It just happens. I invite you to turn to page 1597 in the Pew Bible. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, these words, this story from so long ago, will live in our present moment now, will touch our lives and encourage us to go like Peter and be fishing for people. Through Christ we pray. Amen. A lot of Father's Day cards I see have pictures of fishing gear on them. So I assume a lot of fathers like to go fishing. I know mine did. Dad would go to the creeks and ponds and lakes around our home in West Virginia and fish anytime he could. Often he would go over into Ohio, farther away, or up into Pennsylvania somewhere and fish. And when he took me with him, I would get so bored. Fishing was not for me. But Dad enjoyed it. It was a pleasant pastime. But not for Peter. For Peter, fishing was hard work, as he said in this passage. So one morning, after fishing all night, doing this hard work and catching nothing, Peter and his partners are cleaning their nets, and Peter's ready to go home and sleep. Jesus is teaching a crowd who are pushing against him so much, they're about to shove him into the water. And so Jesus walks over to Peter and asks to use his boat as sort of a floating pulpit. Peter would probably rather go home. He's been up all night. But still, he does what Jesus says. And when Jesus gets done teaching, he's not done with Peter. We don't know what lesson Jesus taught the crowd, but we do know what Jesus taught Peter here. And there's a lesson here that we could learn as well. Jesus said, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Now Peter had been doing that all night. Nothing had happened. And nighttime was when the fish swam closer to the surface, so it was easier to catch them. In the daytime, when they're down lower in the cooler water, it's not as easy to catch. And yet Peter doesn't go, "Well, you know, Jesus, you're not a fisherman, you're a carpenter. I don't tell you how to build tables. You shouldn't tell me how to fish." Peter doesn't get into any of that. He just says, "We fished all night and didn't catch anything, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets." Suddenly the nets are so full of fish that they start to break. And Peter calls to the others to come and turns to Jesus and calls him to go. "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Of course, happily, Jesus has no intention of leaving Peter or us just because we sin. Our sin is why Jesus came. Jesus came to atone for our sin, to take away the penalty and punishment of our sin, to remove the power of sin over us, and eventually free us from the presence of sin in heaven with him. Jesus has no intention of leaving just because Peter is a sinner. We'll get back to our sin later, but for now I want us to consider that life is like that lake. Because there are these shoreline places in life where we feel secure, We can see and touch the bottom. We can wade in gradually, stop when we want to, and quickly, easily walk back to dry land. We've got these familiar, comfortable places in life where we feel safe and confident and in control. I've been at this job for 20 years. I know it backward and forward. There's no surprises for me. Or my wife might say, I've been married to that man for 42 years. And I know what he's going to say before he says it. Maybe you've heard, I've been at this church all my life, and I know how church should run. So whether it's at work, at home, or at church, in our relationships or recreation, we like the shoreline places in life where we can feel the bottom and see what's coming, and nothing rocks our boat. Shoreline, that's where we feel most comfortable. That's where we want to stay. Now, this is probably a shoreline place for most of you. You're comfortable in the sanctuary. You've been coming here for a long time. So this is maybe like a shoreline place. There's an insert in your bulletin I want you to see now, because you can fish for people even in the shoreline. It can happen. You see people fishing from the shore. This is just a way that when visitors are here, you can fish for people by doing these four things that are the acronym. Be friendly. I know you're friendly with each other because you know each other, you love each other, but when somebody comes in and they're a stranger, smile at them. Make eye contact with them. Welcome them to this house of worship so that they can feel comfortable here too. So be friendly. Then introduce yourself. Names are so important. Tell them your name. Ask their name. Introduce them to another member and tell them their name and get their name. And when you part from them, tell them your name again, because there's a lot of names here for a new person to remember. And they will feel more comfortable coming again if there's a name or two that they have learned and somebody has taken the time to learn their name. So introduce. Then there's a split-second witness. That's the S. This is the fun part. This is where you get to say something positive, something that you like about this place, this church, and mention God. You might say, for example, I feel God's presence so much when we sing worship hymns here. I hope you will too. Or, God has blessed me with some really good friends in this church. I hope you'll find some here too. A sentence. Split-second witness. And then the H is be helpful. Somebody's got three kids, might show them where the nursery is. Somebody might need to know where the restroom is. Just hand them a bulletin. Give them a welcome packet. Sit with them in the pew and guide them through the service. It's new to them. Everything that's familiar to you is going to be unknown to them. And they'll need to know when to stand and sit and where we're doing this and that. And just doing these four things, friendly, introducing, split-second witness, and be helpful, can make people who come here feel much more welcome. So you can be fishing, you see, even here at the shoreline. And as you become comfortable and familiar with doing that, you can step out into your neighborhood, places of work, friendships you have at school, and do some fishing there with these same four things. Eventually, though, Jesus will come along and say, let's put out into the deep water. I want you to teach for Bible school. I want you to be one of those nursery helpers. I want you to minister to the homeless and hungry in your town. I want you to chair this committee. I want you to go to the Dominican Republic. I want you to invite that neighbor that just moved in. I want you to go into some deep water. Jesus calls us, you see, from the security of the shoreline to these deep water places of life. He calls us to push out farther beyond where we can see and touch the bottom, where the water's over our head and the waves are running higher than we like. He wants to take us into these unknown waters, new places in life, new situations and relationships and ministries that we've never been in before. He invites us to trust Him beyond our normal comfort zones. Invites us to believe that He knows what He's going to do with us when He calls us into the deep water. And Jesus taught that to Peter, because Peter went when Jesus told him. That's how we can learn it too. And notice, Jesus doesn't just say, put out into the deep water. He also says, let down your nets for a catch. So he's not calling us into deep water just so that we learn to trust him in these strange, unknown places. That's important in itself, but there is a catch. Jesus is sending us there because there are others in the plan. And we're the ones Jesus is going to use to reach them, to catch them, if we will go. Let me illustrate. After seminary, Vicki and I did 3 years of campus ministry at Muskingum College in Central Ohio. And that was a deep water experience for us. Because we had the chance to choose Alderson Broaddus College in my home state of West Virginia. It was a Baptist school that was a lot closer to where our parents lived and to the ministry headquarters in Pittsburgh. We had had some of our training at Alderson Broaddus. We knew a little bit about the place. We felt a little more comfortable and secure there. But this verse kept coming back to us, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. So trusting the Lord, Muskingum College was farther out. It was farther away. It was completely unknown to us. We felt that's where God wanted us to go, to Muskingum College. And so we packed up our stuff and we moved there. And as soon as we got there, the deep water we knew was coming got even deeper. It's like walking in the shoreline. All of a sudden, whoop! You find one of those holes under the water that you didn't see. We were supposed to be directors of one residence hall. And as soon as we got there, they said, we need you to go over here and be in charge of three. And we'd never done this before, so we're kind of, whoo, one is going to be hard enough. But now we have to be running three of them. So we had to do it. We were there. So we took the position, worked with the residence hall associates, RAs, resident assistants, all of that. And as we did our ministry, like Bible studies and various student ministries that were there, and in 3 years, there were over 40 young people who went to a 3-day discipleship conference in Pittsburgh where they learned about following the Lord. And today, as we contact them with Facebook and Christmas cards, we know that many of them have remained active in their faith and are leaders in their church. Now, I don't say that to boast, because it wasn't because of us being so good and effective. That was what the Lord did, just because we trusted him and went where we felt God was leading us. We tried to do what Jesus called us to do in the place Jesus called us to do it. So with Peter, the catch came from Jesus. That was his work. The hearts that were changed, the lives that became the Lord's, that was all the Lord's doing. We were the ones blessed to experience what Peter promised, that from now on, you're going to catch some people. Peter left his boats and his net and his fish that day, and he found that following Jesus was where his life was meant to be. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled him, and he preached to a crowd of people who had come around pressing in on him to see what was going on. And on Pentecost, the power of the Spirit let him lead 3,000 souls to Christ. I mean, that was the catch he got that day. 3,000 people. And more followed, and still more. Until 129 years ago, when I suspect this now busy intersection was a quiet village crossroads, some faithful followers of Christ answered the call to plant a church here. And they let down their nets in the deep water of this place and began to catch the people Jesus wanted caught. And on it went, one generation after another. People caught people who caught more people who caught more people as the Lord blessed their faith and their faithfulness. And so that timeline is possible, you see, because of what they did. That only goes back to about 1950. We thought that's when Bob Craig and Ellie Gersh would remember, because they were the oldest two members here. But because other earlier generations put down their nets for a catch, you were able to have 1950 in this church, and 1960 and so on, till today. So now when you hear and read of ministry opportunities, whether it's at La Romana or with church youth or vacation Bible school outreach, remember these words of Jesus, call and promise. Put out into the deep water, that's the call. Put down your nets for a catch, that's the promise. Jesus says these words to the church now, to you. There are people that he wants to catch through you, elderly people, young people, lonely people, lost people, people who need grace, people who need forgiveness, people who need hope and peace, people who need the Lord. But yeah, like Peter, we're all sinful men and women. We might easily say, oh, the Lord should depart from me. I'm too sinful to be used. But Jesus has not left us. Rather, he has come near and lived among us and died in our place and rose on our behalf and now rules from his throne in heaven over all things for the church, which is his own body. And so now he says to us, as he said to Peter, do not be afraid. I paid your debt of sin on the cross. It's done. It's forgiven. It is gone in the sight of God. You are justified in the sight of God. Don't be afraid. I give you eternal life. Don't be afraid. As the Father sent me, I send you. Don't be afraid. I will fulfill my purpose for you. Don't be afraid. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Don't be afraid. I am with you always. Don't be afraid. So that's what you see here in this story. Jesus didn't stand on the shore and say, Peter, go out into the deep water. No, further. Further out. While Jesus stood on the shore, Jesus was in the boat with Peter. In the deep water with Peter. To make that catch happen. Don't be afraid to put out into the deep water when the Lord calls you, because the Lord is with you when you go. There is strength, there is power, there is hope in the name of the Lord. Jesus knows the water that he calls you to enter, and he knows what he's going to do with you there. Trust him. Put out into the deep, and you'll see. What's the catch? The catch is someone like you who needs the Lord. Where's the catch? It's in the deep water, waiting for you to come and let down your net. Will you do that? Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge it is easier and more comfortable to stay at the shoreline. We're used to it and we like it. It's not risky, it's not unknown. But you have other plans. Because you have other people you want to save, you want to reach. Just like others put out their nets and reached us. Lord, we pray for hearts that are bold, not fearful. Hearts that are trusting you, not doubting you. Hearts that are willing to be obedient to you, even when it seems that what you call us to do is foolish. For you know what you want to do through us, who you want to reach through us. By your living Spirit in us, help us be faithful to trust your promise and answer when you call. Amen. The final hymn is Living for Jesus, number 605. Again, it's one of those hymns that where we're expressing our intention. And I pray that that's what we're about today. We want to be living for Jesus, who has died for us and makes our life possible. Stand as you're able and join in this final song. Thank you. encourage you to take a minute and look at the timeline if you haven't already, and think back through your life and what you'd like to see happen here, and add some post-it notes that'll be there today and through the rest of the month. And again, remember, choir for a day next Sunday. Y'all sound really good today, so we need some of you to be here at 9:30 to be the choir for the day, and we'll sing a song that you know and present it for our worship. Now, you are the best advertisement for this place. I've seen several blue notes about wishing more families were here, and fuller sanctuary, those kinds of things. You are the ones who love this church and make this church be what it is. So tell people about it and invite them to come with you. Be the fisher for people that Jesus talks about as you invite friends and family to come with you. Let's receive God's benediction. Come may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit strengthen you, give you hearts to love and serve the Lord, and hope for each new day. Amen.